This is the TriDot Podcast. TriDot uses your training data and genetic profile combined with predictive analytics and artificial intelligence to optimize your training, giving you better results in less time with fewer injuries. Our podcast is here to educate, inspire, and entertain. We'll talk all things triathlon with expert coaches and special guests. Join the conversation and let's improve together.
Hey folks, welcome to the TriDot Podcast. You can learn quite a bit about racing Ironman from watching people race Ironman, and no one has watched people race Ironman more than Mike Riley. So today, I am pleased to present 10 race day lessons from Mike Riley. Mike has called 214 Ironman races worldwide, and his iconic call of "You are an Ironman" has been heard by almost 500,000 finishers, myself included. I was one of those 500,000. He has done the on-site announcing and television coverage for over 1,000 other triathlon and running events in 10 separate countries. He is the only person inducted into the Ironman Hall of Fame, the USA Triathlon Hall of Fame, and the Running USA Hall of Champions. He is the author of Finding My Voice and the host of the Finding Your Finish Line podcast. Mike, welcome back to the TriDot Podcast.
Thanks for having me back, Andrew. This is exciting.
Helping me interview Mike today is Vanessa Ronxley. Vanessa is your average triathlete with elite-level enthusiasm. She has been a TriDot ambassador since 2019, and you hear her voice on all of our media channels as a host and contributor. Vanessa is from Calgary, Canada, but is currently living with her family in Sydney, Australia. Vanessa, thanks so much for joining the conversation. How is Sydney this morning?
You know, it's a pretty typical autumn day here in Sydney. Chilly morning, like legit chilly, not just Australian chilly.
Okay.
There's not a cloud in the sky, and the sun will be shining in full force in about an hour, probably.
How does it compare to autumn in Calgary, Canada?
It's so much nicer. I mean, the mornings are chilly, the evenings are chilly, but the daytime temperature is just, it's so glorious. It's warm. We still go on the ocean. It's just, it's really great. Yeah, it's really nice.
All right. Well, I am Andrew, the average triathlete, voice of the people and captain of the middle of the pack. As always, we will roll through our warm-up question, settle in for our main set conversation, and then we'll wind things down with Vanessa on the cooldown. She's going to be interviewing a TriDot coach for our coach cooldown tip. Before we get too deep into the show today, I want to give a shout out to our good friends at UCAN. Here at TriDot, we are huge believers in using UCAN to fuel our training and racing. In the crowded field of nutrition companies, what separates UCAN from the pack is the science behind Live Steady, the key ingredient in UCAN products. While most energy powders are filled with sugar or stimulants that cause a spike and crash, UCAN energy powders, powered by Live Steady, deliver a steady release of complex carbs to give you stable blood sugar and provide long-lasting energy. I personally fuel my workouts with the orange-flavored Edge gel and the unflavored UCAN energy powder. Between their energy mix, energy bars, almond butter, and more, there is definitely a Live Steady product that you will love. So head to their website, ucan.co, and use the code TRIDOT to save 20% on your entire order. Now that code used to be 10%, but the fine folks at UCAN have upped it to 20% for TRIDOT Nation. So once again, that's ucan.co, promo code TRIDOT. Lots of good stuff. Let's get to it.
Time to warm up. Let's get moving.
Here at TriDot Media, we have a big, giant creative board where we track ideas for podcast episodes, what coach is coming on next to share a cooldown tip, and ideas for warm-up questions. Everyone on the team knows they can add an idea whenever they have it, and for today's warm-up question, I chose a warm-up question that Vanessa added to our creative board. So, Vanessa, I'd love to have you ask it. Take it away.
Awesome. Here we go. So it's usually a good thing to get out of your comfort zone and try something new. After all, for all of us, there was a day when we tried triathlon for the first time, and now we're all here listening to a podcast about it. So I'd say for me, that hobby kind of stuck, and for all of the listeners as well who are listening. So what I'm curious to learn about today is, what was the last time you tried something for the first time? So yeah. Ooh. Mike Riley, we know you've called a lot of races, but what was the last time you did something for the first time?
Oh, wow. There were a few things last year where I said to myself, oh my gosh, I've never seen that or done that before. But it was something that someone else did. But the last time I did something for the first time was just this past weekend. I went to an Ironman 70.3 event as a spectator.
Wow.
I have never spectated from the VIP tent, walking around the race on the other side of the fencing, trying to high-five the athletes as they came by and yell at them. I'd never done that before. My niece was racing, so I was out on the course following her around. And for the first time, I was just one of the many spectators out there, and it felt fantastic. It was so nice.
That's incredible.
Yeah, what'd you think, Mike? Was it a different experience?
It was a different experience. It was refreshing. I got to see it from the other side. I was standing next to family members who were waiting for their loved ones and saw the look on their face, and I was right there amongst it all. I didn't have the badge to get me on the other side of the fencing, you know, my credential wasn't very good. So, but it was for the first time, and I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it.
Now, I just have a question for you. Were you dancing at the finish line?
Of course he was.
I
had to be.
Well, I was inside the VIP tent or on the other side of the finish line. And I'm sorry to say, I did. Yeah, I cut a move or two when a good song came on with a few people, but nothing extravagant like I think people have seen in the past.
Probably a big difference between the energy you have to put forth when you're the one entertaining and hyping up the audience versus just watching somebody else do it. Mike, I'm curious to hear this. I'm curious to hear, what time did you wake up in the morning for race day as a spectator? I'm sure it was a couple hours longer than you're used to getting to sleep on race morning, huh?
You want to hear something funny? My niece, she had to walk down to the bus, and her mom, my sister, was there. They were rooming together. And so before we all went to bed, my sister said, I'm going to walk down with you, honey, to the start line and get you on the bus. And I'm looking at him going, okay, I don't need to get up to do that. Your mom can walk you to the finish. So I heard them, their room was next door. I heard them leave, and it was about 4:45 or something. And I just laid there and laid my head back down and went to sleep for another hour. I have never done, usually I'm up at 3:34. I'm down at site before anybody else. I go, this is kind of nice. It's like I hit the snooze button big time.
I love that so much for you. I really, really do. So Vanessa, this answer for me, my wife and I, as many of our tried out athletes know, we just had a baby. She was a full month early, totally healthy. Everything was great. She was just ready to go a little bit early. She was a breech baby, and so she was a C-section. And so while my wife recovered from the C-section, she was in bed for, I want to say, two-ish days before she's even allowed to get out of the hospital bed. And so for that first 48 hours, I mean, whatever had to happen, if baby needed a diaper change, if baby needed to be fed, if baby just needed to be picked up and be held, dad was up and dad was on it. And so it was really good for me, I think, to get that experience and to just have to dive in as a guy who has zero experience with babies, to really just truly dive in and be thrown in the fire. It was a great experience. And so that weekend especially, I was doing a ton of things for the first time. I'm continuing to do more things for the first time, and we are having a blast getting to be mom and dad to our daughter, Ellie. So, Vanessa, what is this answer for you?
Well, since moving to Australia, there have been a ton of first-time things that I've done. Yeah. But one that's probably the hardest first-time thing that I've done recently is about a month ago, I did my first swim-run race, which was totally new. And in preparation for this race, obviously, I needed to start learning how to swim in the ocean because living in Alberta, there's not very much open water. So you have to drive for, you know, at least an hour to get to some kind of swimmable water. And that still, it's a mountain lake. So it's, you know, very different.
Freezing.
Yeah, exactly. Very cold. So up until moving here, the most I've done in the ocean is, you know, frolicked in the waves, snorkeled, you know, done a little bit of surfing. But now I'm legit ocean swimming and it is so hard. There's like the current, the rips, the swells, the jellyfish, the fear of all sorts of other animals that I might encounter while I'm out there. So every time I go out, I feel like it's something I'm doing for the first time. So yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Any shark sightings out there, Vanessa, while you've been swimming?
No, but I do have to tell you, I have swam across the shark net. Like there's actually a shark net in the bay.
And you know when you're swimming over it?
Yeah. I was unprepared the first time I swam over it and I saw it and I'm like, oh, it's not a myth. There's actually a shark net down there. And it was like, it was so scary. But then as we got closer to this, the place is called Wedding Cake Island. That's, we were going to swim around Wedding Cake Island. And as we got closer, you could start to see rocks along the bottom. So it became a little bit less frightening, actually terrifying, a little bit less terrifying.
Now, Mike, San Diego, some great open water swimming out in your neck of the woods. No shark nets, though, correct?
No shark nets. I know the shark net that Vanessa's talking about. I've swum over that in Sydney. And, you know, Sydney and San Diego are very similar cities on the tri-community, the weather, the ocean, the temperature. They're just almost the same. So, but our open ocean is just, you know, going to the beach, jumping in, going out about 100 yards, swimming diagonal about a half mile, turn around, come back, or La Jolla Cove. La Jolla Cove is one of the best spots in the world to swim in. And there's buoys out there, a half mile, 1 mile buoy. Or you can swim over to La Jolla Shores and back, and that's like a 2 mile round trip. A lot of people do that. So there's a lot of great open ocean water swimming here because really San Diego County, you don't swim in lakes here. You have to swim in the bay or the ocean. It's not like being in Minnesota where you go swim in a lake. So it's all open water.
Yep. All lake swimming here in Dallas, Texas, and no shark nets required for me. hey guys, we're going to throw this warm up question out to you, our audience, as we always do. Make sure that you are a member of the I Am Tridot Facebook group. That's where we post this question to you, our audience. We've got over 15,000 athletes now just talking swim, bike, and run all through the week in that group. Vanessa, I'll let you on Monday. I'll let you be the one who puts out the post asking everybody this question. So y'all be on the lookout for that and let us know. What was the last thing you did for the first time?
On to the main set. Going in 3, 2, 1.
Tridot Pool School is the best way for triathletes to learn proper swim form. The Tridot coaching team spent years on the pool deck crafting functional freestyle, and it has already helped hundreds of triathletes improve their swim by an average of 12%. As soon as an athlete registers for Tridot Pool School, they are given access to the Tridot Academy, where a series of dry land exercises help build crucial muscle memory long before the in-person weekend. The weekend workshop is an engaging blend of instruction, demonstrations, and drills with frequent breaks to rest and reflect. You'll be grouped with swimmers of similar ability and taught step-by-step how to turn your muscle memory into full-stroke swimming that's smooth and fast. Tridot Pool School is for everyone. We've had entry-level triathletes, back-of-the-packers, mid-packers, some elite age groupers, and even a couple of pro triathletes attend. Ready to jump in? There are pool schools available all over the country and around the world. Head to tridot.com/pool-school and sign up today. When I head to the races to cheer on TriDot athletes, even when I am not on the race course myself, I always learn what to do and what not to do by watching what other folks do as they navigate the course. I know from all his years calling races, Mike Riley has plenty of race day wisdom to share. And today, we're going to see exactly what he's learned through his legendary career watching athletes on course. Now, Mike, before we get to your 10 pearls of wisdom, so to speak, a very exciting announcement has gone out that we need to talk about. The news has hit the press already, but you, sir, are officially on board working with us here at TriDot. Your official title, which I think is fantastic, by the way, 10 out of 10 for whoever came up with this, you are the Chief Motivational Officer for TriDot Triathlon Training. So tell us, Mike, what is your role as the CMO of TriDot?
Oh my gosh, my role is going to be varied, but like the word says, hopefully my words can help motivate you to get to your finish line, to get through your training journey, to even start your training journey. There's so many ways that we can help someone in our lives that are trying to get something done. And I see my role as the CMO, Chief Motivational Officer. It's kind of weird for me to say that, but I see my role as someone that can, if there's a word or a phrase or an inflection of how I use my voice in the app to try to spur you on to get to your next workout, to get your butt out of bed, to get to that finish line, I want to be able to do that. So the role is going to be a role that it actually will probably develop more and more over time.
Yeah,
because
sure.
I'm not going away. You know, I retired from announcing races, but I didn't retire from the sport that I love, that I've been a part of since the 70s. And I see this, the whole TriDot community is the future of the sport, the training, the apps for TriDot, the future of the sport. So I want to be a part of that, and hopefully I can help people on their journey.
No, I trust you certainly will. I know, Mike, over the years, you've interacted with the TriDot community quite a bit. You've called a lot of our athletes across the finish line. You've popped in and said, hey, at TriDot Pool School in San Diego when it was in that neck of the woods. You've come on our podcast before. Our team bumps into you at all the races all the time. You always stop and chat with us when we see you. But even before coming onto the team, what was your impression of TriDot, just observing the brand and our athletes over the years?
Oh my goodness, it was how close-knit everybody is, the community aspect of the support they give one another. I saw that from afar. I saw it when people were finishing and others, you know, screaming and yelling for them and cheering them on. I see it when they're all walking around through the expo. I just felt this energy that the TriDot athletes had and have that was infectious. And refreshing. I really enjoyed being around everyone, whether it was one person wearing a TriDot gear walking around or seven of them walking around together. It was something different about it. I could sense that. And so even before I became a part of the community, I knew there was something very special going on at TriDot. And now I'm honored to be a small part of that community because I love and adore all the athletes out there and everything they do and they accomplish. And it inspires me to keep pushing through my life and doing the things I want to do. So that's what I saw, Andrew. I saw a deep sense of community and love and support for one another.
You know, Mike, hearing you say those words just gave me shivers all over because that's exactly how it feels. It's just such a wonderful thing that you're coming on board, and now you get to feel it too.
Yay,
so great.
Well, you know, the other thing with Vanessa, they were walking around with all this great looking TriDot gear. I go, yeah. I want some of that stuff.
red, black, and white, colors you're already used to.
Yeah.
Now, throughout your career, you've always focused on taking care of athletes. So for a man who is at the pointy end of triathlon notoriety, you are incredibly accessible on race weekend. So many people over the years have gotten to know you. They've got autographs and selfies with you, and you've been declared an Ironman by you. You've made a mark on hundreds of thousands of people's lives. So as you hang up the mic and move into your next chapter, how is this the best way to continue your legacy?
Well, I never, you know, the word legacy is something I don't like to say about myself. I'm just a guy that wants to help enhance someone else's life.
Yeah.
We all need a push from someone else in our lives. And I had the opportunity to do that thousands upon thousands of times at races. So when Jeff and I started talking about getting together with TriDot, it was brought up, you know what, just because I've retired from the finish line of announcing races doesn't mean my voice shouldn't be heard. And that's, TriDot came to me and I came to them, and we had this mutual respect of one another. And it's an honor to be able to think that my voice will, and what I say to people will still continue. And I don't look at myself as, oh my gosh, you got to listen to me because, you know, I'll push you on your way. That's not, I just want to be a small part of someone's life to help them enhance it. You know, just because you hear a motivational phrase or someone tells you something or praises something you do, you still have to take the step forward. You still have to get out of bed to go train. You still have to find that finish line.
Yeah.
But it is, you guys, it's pretty humbling to know that my voice will go on and the things I say will go on in this community because we're family, and whether you like it or not, family has to listen to one another. So we're going to be listening to each other on our journeys forward.
Well, Mike, all of us here at TriDot are just excited to have you in the family. You're a great culture fit for us. We've admired you.
Thank you.
And just loved watching you do your thing at the races over the years. I know our athletes are going to love having the Riley Touch built into the app. I already love firing up the app on Monday and seeing Mark Allen pop in and give me a training tip. So I can only imagine how fun it's going to be to encounter you just throughout my training week in the TriDot app in a variety of ways. I know some of the ways that where athletes will see you in the app. I'm not gonna spoil any of them. We're gonna let them be a fun surprise when people start getting the Riley Touch, as I like to call it, in the app. But Mike, enough about all of that. Let's get to our 10 tips from Mike Riley. Now Mike is going to share a nugget of wisdom he has learned from the races, and then the three of us will chat and reflect on what he shared. So let's do it, Mike. What is lesson number one from the races?
Well, when I put these down and I thought about them, they were really in no particular order, but okay. Then I did move them around a little bit. But the first one on race day, always remember and embrace your why you're stepping into that water, why you're jumping on the bike, and why you're running. Don't discount that. You made a decision to do a hard thing, to swim, bike, and run. So that decision always has to be at the forefront for you. You embrace it on race day because times are going to get tough. And that's when you embrace your why. This is why I'm out here, whether it's for yourself or someone else. We all have our varied reasons of why we're on that race course, but embrace it every step of the way.
For our listeners who might not know this, Vanessa is currently signed up for her very first Ironman. Ironman California 2023 is going to be a massive TriDot presence in Sacramento for that race. Vanessa, what's your why for that race?
My why is constantly shifting at this point. I haven't figured out the one that's going to be the driving force, but the original why for doing that race was because I was kind of conned into doing it.
So sure. Hey,
I don't
happens.
Know if it was really my choice, but it will become more apparent to me, like the really good solid why. Because, I mean, what athlete goes into triathlon and doesn't someday dream about becoming an Ironman? Like that is, you know, something that I'm sure most triathletes dream about. So at that point, there has to be a little bit of a why burning within your soul So of course I have that. I just have to discover what the main why is that I basically want to plaster on my hand, or, you know, have it written somewhere, so that I can constantly be reminded. There are multiple reasons, but I haven't picked the one that's the most valuable to me quite yet.
And Vanessa, you mentioning that, how athlete, you know, you have to write that down. I've seen so many on the crossbar of their bikes when I'm walking through transition. Before everybody gets in, I see these little notes to themselves. Wow. And most of them is their why. I've seen so much of that. And I think that is a very cool idea.
Mike, you're an Ironman yourself. Back when you actually took that plunge and registered for your first full distance Ironman, what was your why?
Andrew, I've never done an Ironman.
I thought you had done an Ironman.
No.
It was just your son, Andy, that did one?
Yeah, Andy. I've got a lot of family members. I never did it. I was scheduled to do Kona in 1989.
Okay.
I was training for that race. But that's when I got a call to come over and be an assistant announcer. It was like being called up to the big leagues. And I talked to my wife about it, and she had the comment, well, you can always do that race. What the heck, if they're going to bring you over there and announce a world championship race like that, you'll always be able to do an Ironman. Well, that was 214 Ironmans ago. So my Ironman was always being on that microphone. I wanted to be on that side of it more than I did. You know, and my friends were funny. I'd be out training with them all the time. They go, God, Riley, you train like you're doing an Ironman. And I go, yeah, but I don't have the stress of the race. And they go, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, Mike, if you ever decide that you want to pull that trigger and get that done, there's a training app that you can use to get ready.
Yeah,
for it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Happy to oblige. My why when I signed up for my first Ironman, honestly, I just wanted to round out the triathlon resume. And my intention was always just do one. I'm sure at this point I'll circle back and do a second eventually. And sure enough, Mike, to your point, just remembering your why, there were several times where that race got hard. It was hot. It was windy on the bike. You know, you start getting tired on the run. And there were several times where I was like, you know what? I trained months and months and months and months for this. I want to get this done. Like, I'm not stopping. Like, I'm checking that box on my triathlete resume that I am an Ironman finisher, and I'm not stopping for anything. And that was my why. And that was probably not the most altruistic why. Some people want to inspire others, or they want to, you know, show their kids that nothing is impossible, or they want to, you know, whatever it is, raise money for a cause. You know, mine was a lot more selfish. It was just to get it done, right? But that was my why, and I clung to that on race day, and I got it done. So great stuff there, Mike. Lesson number one. What is your lesson number two?
A lot of athletes have heard me say this as they're getting into the water and before that cannon goes off. There's a lot of things out of your control on race day. The wind, heat, rain, somebody bumping into you, volunteer not getting you that drink you want. They're not in your control and you can't worry about them. There's one thing in your control on race day. That's your attitude. If you keep that positive, it will get you to the finish line and you'll forget about all the other things you don't have control over. So control your attitude, keep it positive, and it will get you to the finish line no matter what else happens on race day.
I'm really hoping to embody that positivity. I know when I did my first half, as soon as I had made that mental switch from completing a race to having fun while doing the race, it just made a huge difference in my outlook throughout the entire race. And so it's something that I'm reminding myself of now as I'm mentally preparing for the event in October, is to, you know, just think of the positives and think about how exciting it's going to be and focus on that excitement as opposed to getting nervous about it. You know, I really appreciate that.
I feel like too, to have negative energy and to get worked up about something that maybe went wrong, that was outside of your control, that steals crucial energy from your energy reserves that you're going to need later in the race day. And the more you can stay positive, the more you can just say, you know what, that happened. I'm going to move on to the next moment. And don't let that any negative experience, any negative emotion, take energy from the day. Love that, Mike. Great stuff. As we move on to lesson number three, what do you have for us here, Mike?
Well, Vanessa just mentioned it too. when you do control your attitude and not worry about those things around you, my lesson number three is have fun.
Mm.
I actually had an athlete after I said the attitude thing. Some have come up to me and go, you know what, Mike? You said that to me and the rain came and I laughed at the rain. I'm just, I don't have control over it. So it's raining. What the heck? So you just have to have that attitude to where, you know what, I'm going to go out there and have fun. There are a lot of people in the world that can't do what you're doing.
Absolutely.
That day. They don't have the opportunity. They don't have the physical ability. They don't have the mental ability. You got through all those things. So you go out there and have fun. You're just a big kid out there on a 140.6 mile playground, and it's all yours. So play in the sand, swing on the swings. That's how you have to look at it. Have fun all day long. And then you come to that finish line, no matter how much you're hurting, you'll be smiling.
So personally, I'll be curious to hear Mike's take on this. To me, there's a lot of ways for this sport to be fun. I mean, riding a bike in and of itself is fun. I mean, to me, going for a run is fun. You know, hitting the open water for a swim, that's loads of fun. But what really, for my triathlon experience, ratcheted up the fun multiplier by a tremendous amount was meeting more triathletes and getting involved in the triathlon community. Both locally here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I mean, there's a lot of athletes I know that I ride bikes with and I train with that some are tried out athletes, some are not tried out athletes. And so I would encourage everybody listening, you know, try to find a local triathlon club in your area. If there's not a tri club in your area, maybe think about starting one. Maybe think about just trying to find one or two other people in your area that do this sport. If you can roll into race day and have friendly faces, have other people rocking the same kit as you that you're seeing, man, that just ratchets up the fun so, so much. Mike, do you have any other just kind of personal ways that you think people can add to the fun on race day?
I think one of the biggest ways is to always, every step of the way, try to cheer someone else on.
That's good.
You know, you'll go by somebody and you go, oh my God, that dude is hurting. Give him or her a pat on the back or run next to him for a second or just say something like, you know, I was hurting, you know, 5 miles ago, but now I'm okay. You're going to be okay. And you want me to run with you for a little while? I mean, and complete strangers do things for each other like that in our sport. And once they do that, well, they're strangers, but they're still family because that's what this sport's all about. But encourage someone else. And, you know, show them you're having a good time, and even though they're hurting, and maybe you'll pick them up just a little. You may not get a smile from them. Their frown may still be there, but they heard you.
Yeah.
Mentally, they heard you, and sometimes that's all that needs to be said. So do that. Just do that a little. That'll help.
And, you know, that might be the turning point for that person in that race.
Yes.
You know, that tiny yes. little pick-me-up. It might be the thing that gets them out of that zone of, I can't do this, I can't do this too. Oh, wait, I can do this. So you might be affecting them in a way that you couldn't even imagine.
I have vivid memories from races of just small interactions that I had with people that were total strangers, right? And they weren't long interactions, right? You're either going by somebody on the race course, or they're going by you, or you're going opposite directions. But even just a quick interaction, you know, takes your mind out of the moment, you know, reminds yourself that you're out here doing this thing with people. And to Mike's point, totally ratchets up the fun. So what is our next Mike Riley lesson from the races?
Number four really is started with number three. Don't be so serious. I see people out there that they're racing and they've got this look on their face like, don't step in front of me or I'm going to knock
yeah.
you down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or, you know what? I gotta get off the bike at this time. I've got to do this. That just sucks energy from you, like you said, Andrew, like crazy. So don't be so serious. There's really nothing to expand on that. And sure, the pros are in a serious business. They're trying to produce their income. They're trying to win the race. That's a serious business. But I know a lot of professional athletes that have come through that finish line in first on both the men and the women's side. and they raced with reckless abandon, and they weren't serious about it. They just went out and did what they loved to do. So it goes through all ranks. They're pros and the age groupers. Just don't be so doggone serious.
I love that.
Yeah, Mike, one of my favorite social media follows right now in the triathlon space is Fenella Landridge, a professional in the female field from the United Kingdom. She has loads of personality. She's a very, very fun Instagram follow. She always is just very candid with what's happening in her training and racing. But what's really striking to me about her, I go back to Kona. She had a great result in Kona this past year. She was one of the top finishers. She was in contention late into the stages of the run for podium positions. And there's a picture of her running side by side with Daniela Ryf through the Energy Lab. And she noticed that the photographer was there. And Daniela is just doing her thing as she always does. She's a tremendous athlete. And Fenella is right next to her. And relatively is relatively unknown compared to Daniela Ryf. And Fenella, like, she flashes a peace sign. She flashes a huge smile. I mean, she was out there in the Energy Lab late in the race at the Ironman World Championships in a breakthrough performance for her in the female field, and had the presence of mind to have fun in front of the camera going through one of the hottest portions of the race course. And that, no matter who you are, no matter where you are in the performance spectrum, if Fenella can be out there having fun in Kona, you can take some time to not be so serious in your own personal race wherever you are. So, Vanessa, I trust this is not a problem for you, correct?
Oh my gosh, it is a problem.
Is it really?
It is.
I would never guess that.
Oh my gosh, when I'm in training mode, I am so serious. And oftentimes my husband will say to me, like, what are you doing this for? Like, this is, why are you so serious? You take every little detail and you think that it's the most important thing that you've ever done. And he often has to remind me to have fun. So I think that you're right, Mike. Those two tips do go quite hand in hand. Don't be so serious and have fun. So it's something that I have to be cognizant of, actually. When I'm around other people, obviously, it's easy to do, to have fun, but oftentimes we're training alone. And so I tend to slip into serious mode a little bit too much. So I'm going to take this advice into my training, not just in racing. I'm going to make my training more fun. Yeah.
Well, again, in Sacramento at Ironman California, you will have loads of Tri-Dot athletes there. So hopefully they can keep you grounded and keep you from not being so serious out on the race course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. The other two bits I want to say here, Tri-Dot coach John Mayfield has a great piece of advice that he gives athletes. And Mike, you may have heard him say this before. You see so many athletes when they get to the finish line, they take that finish time so seriously that they hit the finish line chute, and instead of enjoying themselves down the finish line chute, they sprint with all the energy they have left. And it's like you spent 13 hours out on the race course, like, why are you in a hurry to rush that finish line moment? Like, don't take that finish line so seriously that those 8 extra seconds on your finish time robs you of the joy of going down the finish line chute and experiencing it. And so, you know, he always recommends don't take that moment so seriously. Soak it in, enjoy it, have fun. If you see, you know, 11:59:59 and sprinting down the red carpet is what gets you a sub-12 or a sub-11 or a sub-10. Okay, well then sprint down the red carpet. But unless you see 59:59 on the clock, take your time, enjoy that moment, and don't be so serious at the finish line.
It's funny you mention that. Of all the times I've been interviewed, I've never been asked, Mike, do you have a pet peeve about racing, about triathlon, about Ironman? And I do. It's sprinters coming down the finish line.
Yeah,
I go,
yeah.
Dude, I always would make a funny comment. Say somebody's coming in at 11 and a half hours and they're doing a five minute mile coming down the chute.
Yeah.
I say to everybody, whoa, you know, if you'd have run that fast the whole day, you'd have won the race. So, I couldn't understand people sprinting at the finish line. Anyway, we don't want to get into that.
Yeah.
They don't need to sprint at the finish line. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy the spectators. Enjoy their red carpet. And take your time.
Mike Riley, what is lesson number 5 from the races?
Never be disappointed with a finish.
Oh, that's so good.
If you finished what you started, which is one of the biggest lessons in life, we can teach our children, we teach each other, never be disappointed with a finish. I don't care what your time was. If you went an hour slower than you went before, if you missed your goal, if you missed everything on race day, but you came across that finish line, you are a winner. You are a champion. You are someone who inspires others because you did finish. So don't be disappointed when you finish or with a finish of anything. I mean, even if you handed in a college term paper and you finished it, but you got a C. Yeah, I got a C. What the heck? I finished it. A lot of people don't finish what they start. So never be disappointed with a finish.
I think that's something that is really key for people who are perfectionists, which a lot of triathletes are. And something mm-hmm. as a teacher that I noticed is that a lot of perfectionists won't finish because what they have completed doesn't seem perfect in their eyes. And so they won't actually hand in that assignment that they worked so hard on, despite the fact that it was far superior to the majority of assignments that were handed in. And so I think that this is a really important aspect of, as you said, every part of your life is, you know, honor yourself for completing the job and getting it done. And even if it's not perfect, like, who cares if it's not perfect? You got it done. You put in the effort and you worked really hard. And that's often what's most important about finishing something in the first place, is the journey that it took to get to that finish point. So yeah. Be honor yourself, you know?
Exactly. And I've seen a multitude of professionals, male and female, in our sport, some at the very top of the game, not have a great day and walk to that finish line and come in, you know, 105th or whatever it may be. They finished the race. They knew it was important to finish, even though they were probably disappointed with their performance because they're a professional. So even the pros can finish what they start and not be disappointed and finish. So don't not finish.
On to the next one. I mean, there's always, that's the beauty of the sport, right? There's always another race around the corner that you can sign up for, that you can jump into. So be proud of what you accomplished. And guess what? If that finish time is eating at you a little bit, cool. Just sign up for the next one and keep building, keep improving. And, you know, it's a journey, right? Mike Riley, lesson number 6, what do we got?
Well, even though we have some of the best coaches in the world in our sport now, we've learned so many things over the years, this lesson is one that's been taught over and over and over again, but people still abuse it, for a lack of a better word. Don't do anything different on race day. And what I mean by that is, if you trained with this nutrition, if you trained on this bike, if you ran in these shoes, don't be buying a new pair of running shoes 2 days before the race and run in them. But people do. They do. They figure they want that added edge.
Yeah.
So they do something different than what they did through their entire 6-8 months, however long training was, for the race. They do something different. And it can beat up their day. So don't do anything different on race day, even though somebody tells you 3 days before the race, hey, if you take this, you'll have a lot more energy on the swim. What are you kidding me? You've never taken it before and you're going to take it again? I don't care if it's the simplest powder of a Gatorade, of a flavor you have never drank before. Just
sure.
Stick with what you do and don't do anything different on race day.
You know, I had an athlete that I was coaching. He was doing his first sprint race, and in the bag that you get at registration, there were some samples, and he pulled out one of the samples and he's like, this is going to be great for race day. So he took it, he ate the sample right before his race, and he didn't even read the label, and it was not a gel, it was a sample of shampoo.
No,
you gotta be kidding. No. Okay, that's shampoo. A first. I got a first. That's a first. I never heard that before.
No. And so the whole race, he was like, you know, the shampoo was just coming up, and he was like burping bubbles, and it was like his stomach was just, you know, turning around, and we were laughing so hard about it. And I said to him, I'm like, did you not hear? Like, you never do anything new on race day, and that includes eating shampoo.
Yeah, and maybe
I don't know
read.
If I should say. I don't know if I should say this. Can you imagine the guy behind him, dude? You got bubbles coming out of your bike shorts. What the heck?
This guy has the best smelling farts that we've ever encountered. Yeah.
I think that was the case the next day.
Yeah, that's like, it's so ingrained in just the endurance sport community, right? Like that's every coach says it, every podcast says it, and we keep saying it because people keep trying new things on race day. Gosh darn it. And yes, absolutely nothing new on race day. Heed the wisdom of so many sages who have come before us and that Mike Riley is reiterating for us today. Moving on to lesson number 7 from Mike Riley at the races.
Well, we all know our sport is built on 3 beautiful disciplines, swim, bike, and run. But on race day, the most important discipline is the 4th one, nutrition. And that can't be discounted. And if you trained with proper nutrition, you got to know on race day, that is your 4th discipline. You stress about the swim, you stress, oh, I've got to do this on the bike, I've got to do this on the run, and you get your nutrition in when you're training, but on race day, it is number 4, and sometimes it should be like number 2 or 3. So yeah. Nutrition is the 4th discipline on race day. Don't ever forget that, and make sure you take care of it.
Mike, I've heard people say that strength training is the 4th discipline. I've heard people say transitioning is the 4th discipline. I've heard nutrition, I've heard a recovery time, and you're hearing the vote of Mike Riley is that nutrition is the 4th discipline of triathlons. And I'll say this, Mike, we encourage athletes all the time. Your last lesson was nothing new on race day. Your nutrition should absolutely not be new on race day, especially if it's shampoo, but even if it's not shampoo, don't try Correct. Anything new on race day. And we encourage our athletes in your training sessions leading up to race day, if you're going to try anything new when it comes to nutrition, try it then. Whether it's a new product, whether it's a new strategy, whether it's a different amount of carbohydrate during a session, a new electrolyte powder, whatever it is, experiment far enough out from the race that you've really perfected what you want to do with nutrition before you get to race day. So with that being said, Vanessa, as you prepare for Ironman California, are you kind of playing with your nutrition right now so that you're ready for that 4th discipline on race day?
Absolutely. Every training session I have, I'm consciously thinking about nutrition, whether it's what pre-workout meal am I going to have and how does it affect my performance in that session? And what kind of hydration am I taking? What kind of carbohydrates am I taking? How much can I tolerate? How far in advance of my session can I eat and feel totally great? I'm testing it all out. And it's fun. This one training session, I smashed it. It was a swim session. And I said to Coach Ryan, I was like, I smashed my swim session. And I ate a date right before I did it. So it must be the date. Date power, but it was just the fact that I had carbs right before the session. So might not have been the date, but it was carbs. And so I now try and make sure that I carb up before most of my sessions, which has been really helpful.
Yep. On our YouTube show, the Tried Out Triathlon show on YouTube, which the day this podcast comes out, Mr. Mike Riley will be joining me for an episode of the Tried Out Triathlon show later this week. So be on the lookout for that. But one thing we're going to do is we're going to watch Vanessa's Ironman training as she starts getting ready. She's graciously agreed to give us a peek at her Ironman training. And so just every single week on the show, she'll give us a little update on how her Ironman training is going as she gets ready for Ironman California. And so I'm sure you'll have some notes for us on what you're trying in terms of nutrition and how you are just honing in your 4th discipline for race day, which Mike Riley is encouraging us is very important. Mike Riley, I think we're on lesson number 8 now, correct? Lesson number 8?
Yes, we are. So there's no doubt you're going to be hurting on race day. You're going to go through tough patches. You're going to kind of doubt yourself. You're going to be running and feel like you got a couple lead weights on your ankles. So when you're hurting, I tell people you want to disassociate a little bit. You want to assess your body and everything's okay. But when you're hurting, think of your loved ones. Think of the ones that help you get there. Think of your partners, your spouse, your kids, your grandkids, whomever it may be, Because when you think about ones that love you, you start thinking about cool memories pop into your head. And before you know it, you're 4 or 5 miles down the road. But a funny story to this, I was being interviewed at a race one time and somebody asked me for advice on race day. And this just popped into my head. You know, thank your loved ones when you're hurting out there. So I had a guy come up to me after the race. He goes, "Thanks, Riley." I go, "What?" He goes, "I had a great day. I was hurting, but I started thinking about my kids and my wow. wife, and I started crying. I'm bawling like a baby running on the course." Guys came up to me, "Dude, you okay?" "Yeah, I'm fine. I was thinking of my loved ones." And one guy said, "Oh, you must have listened to Riley." So, but it does. It, you know, you're an individual out there, and you've done almost everything on your own, but you haven't. Your Absolutely. Loved ones have supported you and been behind you. So when you think of them, I think they're going to help you get through those rough patches on race day.
Yeah, for me, this always manifests in two ways. In the first way, at Ironman specifically, my wife told me going into that day, she was like, I cannot see you bunk. Like, I can't see you be one of those people that gets pulled off the course because you're just absolutely just demolished. And so in the back of my head, like, no matter how tough it got, like, okay, keep fueling, keep trucking, keep pacing correctly, because you promised Morgan you would not be one of those people that bonked along the way. The other way this manifests for me at any distance race I do, ever since I joined the TriDot family, I know when I do a race that there's just people in the TriDot community tracking me on the tracker app, whether it's a Clash Endurance race or a Challenge Family race or an Ironman race. You know, you can usually track your favorite athletes. And anytime my bike wheels, my feet, when I go over a timing mat of any kind, I think of the TriDot family, and I think of the people that I know are tracking me and rooting for me. And it's like, yes, they just got an update on how I'm doing. And I think of them in those moments, and it really just pushes me on to that next timing mat. Vanessa, have you already planned kind of your way of doing this for Ironman?
Yeah. I specifically remember one training run that I had done, and running is not my favorite thing to do. I have to be honest. It's becoming more, I love it sure. more and more the Fair. More I do it. But when I first started, it's not something that I really like to do. And I was doing this one run in a very hot and humid facility, which is not typical when you're living in Calgary. Like, it's dry and cold most of the time. And it was indoors, and I was just thinking, oh my gosh, I have 40 minutes left on this track, and how am I going to get through this? This is so brutal. And so I decided to flip it around and just, you know, be grateful. And so I decided in that moment, I was like, I'm just going to, for the rest of my run, think of all the things that I'm grateful for. And it's interesting because I was able to get through 40 minutes of that run and not repeat one thing Wow. that I was grateful for. And the time absolutely flew by. So I know that this was a really wonderful learning lesson for me to have that experience of doing this session on the track. And I know that it's something that I will definitely remember to do as I'm on the run in California. Hopefully it's not on the bike. I really like the bike, but I think the run is something where I'll need that, you know, that extra motivation. So I'm definitely going to be practicing the gratitude.
Number 9. I said this at every welcome ceremony for as long as I can remember. Because we're out there all day long on the race course, and you need support. And you know where that support comes from. It comes from people giving you their most valuable possession, their time. It's the volunteers. So I tell everyone, thank as many volunteers as possible on race day. Look them in the eye and tell them thank you. And if you do that, it'll bring energy back to you because you're going to make their day. Here they are there for you, and you reverse it. Thank you very much for the gel. Thank you. Oh, my gosh. And you just don't know, and especially because we have a lot of young adults out there and children out there handing things. Could you imagine if they hand something to a Jan Frodeno and he says thanks to a 9-year-old? That's forever.
Yeah.
Well, you're forever when you think a volunteer. It's forever for them. So don't discount that. Think as many volunteers as possible, and it'll bring you energy to help you get to that finish line.
I think this is amazing. I love this this tip so much. When I volunteered at the World Championships for St. George, I was in the change tent in T1, and this girl, I was helping her. It was, you know, the water was so cold, and everyone was having trouble moving their fingers when they got into that changing tent. And I helped this one girl, and I was trying to stay out of the way but do as much as possible at the same time. And as she was running out to get onto the bike, she passed me an envelope, and it was this card. And inside the card was this note thanking me for being a volunteer and helping her to realize her goals. And she had bought a Starbucks card. There was this Starbucks card inside the card. And I was just, I was crying, of course. I'm like almost in tears right now. And just to think that she had taken the time to know that someone was going to help her on that day, and it was going to be so significant that she actually had planned for this. And it's something that I am definitely going to do, because, man, she made my day.
I heard that story. I heard that story in St. George, and I think I might have met her after the race. But yeah, I heard that story about somebody out there with envelopes handing out Starbucks cards to volunteers. Bless her. Bless her heart.
Yeah. And I've received one of those. Cool. How lucky am I?
The triathlon community is just the best, right? I mean, just hands down. I mean, there's so many stories that just reaffirm that time after time after time. I love that story, Vanessa. And when we go to the races, I mean, just to cheer on triathlon athletes, you know, not every race, but if our schedule allows, we try to take a volunteer shift somewhere. So Vanessa, the story you're referencing, our triathlon ambassador camp in St. George, all of our ambassadors were working T1 in the change tents that day. Sometimes we do T1. Sometimes we'll pop up at an aid station on the run course for a couple hours, and we get to cheer the triathlon athletes going by, but then we get to help all the athletes going by. And I can say this, I loved, Mike, that you mentioned the young kids out there helping, because what's so cool to me, like those young, like you might know you're an average triathlete or you're a back of the packer, and you might not think anything special or remarkable about yourself when it comes to half Ironman, Ironman, whatever the distance is. But to those kids at the aid stations, when any athlete on course says like, hey man, thanks so much. Hey young lady, thank you so much. Like, they think you're an all-star. You're one of the athletes. You're one of the competitors. They don't know you're a back of the packer. They don't know you're a mid packer. They don't know it's your first Ironman and the best you've ever done is finished 56th in your age group. They know you're one of the athletes out there doing it, and it means the world to them when you stop and say thank you along the way. So I love that, Mike. Closing it down, we've got one more lesson from Mike Riley, all the things he's learned in his years at the races. What is lesson number 10?
Excuses are invalid. You, on race day, a lot of things will start popping into your head in a negative vein, and, you know, we don't live in the most positive of world at all times, whether you're watching the news, reading the paper, listening to anybody else, and people want to bitch and moan about things. And usually that stems from excuses in their lives of why they didn't do this, why they didn't do that. On race day, if anything comes in, well, you know, it's a little cold out here. Maybe I'll stop at the next aid station. I'll think about quitting or whatever. Forget it. Excuses are invalid. There are no excuses on race day, and there should be no excuses in life, but we use them. We use them as crutches, and we're all guilty of that. I've used excuses, you know, I don't want to do this because of this, whatever, but on race day, man, you got to live by that, because if you don't, you're not going to see that finish line.
I fully agree with that. And I often try and remind myself when I'm in that, you know, that pit of excuses, when you're thinking that everything is against you or whatever it is, you know, own that, own the situation that you're in, and be accountable for it and take responsibility for it and get the job done, because that's what you're there to do. You're there to get the job done. And so, you know, make it happen. You've got to make it happen. And regardless of what happens on your way to that finish line or whatever, just get it done because you can. Because you put in all of that work all along your journey and you can totally do it. So just get it done.
Vanessa, before we call it a day, I'm curious to hear from you. I mean, you have your first Ironman coming up later this year. We've referenced that a few times. You're about a month away now from starting the race prep phase on Tridot, where the training, it doesn't start getting longer super quick, but as soon as you see on Tridot, oh my gosh, today is day one of the race prep phase. I'm no longer in the development phase. I'm actually getting ready for this specific race. That's a very real moment for a lot of Tridot athletes. What was your biggest takeaway from what Mike shared today?
It might come as a surprise to you, which one I think I need to implement more into my training, and to the race. But it's the mental mindset of having fun. I did mention that I get too serious at times, and sometimes I think that the whole end point of that race that I'll be completing is crossing that finish line and having a certain time, but that is not the point of the race. It is absolutely has nothing to do with what I'm trying to achieve. And so having fun along the way and having fun at the race is something that I really, really want to embody. And so I'm going to start today. I haven't done my training session yet today. And I'm just going to have fun, and it's going to start and it's going to be like a snowball effect. Everything that I do from this point forward, I have to come home after my training session and tell my family what fun thing happened on my training session for that day. And then, you know, what's going to happen is when I get to that race, I will have this bank of all these fun things. And it will just be the way that I'm going to carry forward with the race, because how you train is how you race, you know, like that's how it is. So I'm going to train with a positive outlook and having fun. And that's what I'm going to expect of myself on race day.
I love the mention of just caring about your finish time and recognizing that race day will be about a lot more than just your finish time. And when I started in this sport, I started a Google sheet, and anytime I did a sprint, an Olympic, a half Ironman, whatever the race was, I have a Google sheet where I track what my splits were on the swim, bike, and run, where I track my overall finish time, and I can compare. I have them color coded. I used to be able to recite to you exactly what my finish time was at this race or that race. And when I got to Ironman Waco, my very first Ironman, that was the first race where the next day I couldn't have told you my finish time. I had no idea. Now, I went into the day caring about my finish time, and I had a certain goal. But at the end of the day, there were so many more experiences that took place in those 12 hours and 40-something minutes. I still don't know what it is off the top of my head. So many things took place that made that day what it was, above and beyond what the finish time was. So great takeaway there, Vanessa, from you. And Mike, last thing from you. As our Tridot athletes are listening to this conversation, they're about to have your voice, your personality, baked into the Tridot app, into their Tridot training, a lot more than it is right now. What's just kind of your last word as people are day in, day out doing their training? What's your last word to them as it just a word of encouragement in their day-to-day training this week?
You know what? You're the cause of your own experiences. Sure, somebody can rear-end you in a car and things can happen. But if you live by that you're the cause of your own experiences, positive and negative, you'll realize you're the one controlling your destiny, not someone else. Not someone else telling you that you're going to do this, you're going to be great at this. Sure, we'll motivate and inspire, but you're the cause of your own experiences. So keep your experiences positive in your daily life, in your relationships, at your workplace, and in your training and racing, and you'll live a life that you were supposed to live. So just remember, you're the cause of your own experiences.
Great set, everyone. Let's cool down.
Welcome to the cool down, everyone. I'm Vanessa, your average triathlete with elite level enthusiasm. Today, for the coach cool down tip, we're talking to a veteran Tridot coach from way back in the day when athlete information was collected and tracked on Excel sheets. It's crazy how the platform has evolved over the last 15 plus years. John Mayfield has been triathloning since 2010. He is a 10 times Ironman finisher and an Alcatraz finisher, which may just classify as one of his all-time favorite race experiences. These days, he is a full-time triathlon coach and specializes in long course athletes who are busy parents and or professionals longing to be competitive, even if it's simply with themselves. He currently lives in Friendswood, Texas with his wife, three kids, three dogs, and three chickens. Welcome to the show, John.
Thanks for having me again. I guess I'm used to being on the other end of the podcast, so kind of fun to be here on the cooldown side.
I'm super pumped about this. But I do have to say, you did tell me, these are your words, that you're kind of boring, which... Yeah, it's not true. I don't believe you for a second because I've met you, obviously. And so I'm going to give you some rapid fire questions to prove that you're awesome. So are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. So you have to answer as fast as possible. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. What is your favorite season?
Fall.
Who do you text the most?
Probably my wife.
Aww. Where did you go on your last vacation?
Well, I'll cheat a little bit. I am going on a cruise next week. My daughter just graduated high school over this past weekend, and so we're going on a cruise to celebrate that. So
now, do you kill bugs or take them outside?
Just kill.
Oh, what is your favorite dessert?
All of them.
What were you afraid of as a child?
Needles. Still afraid of needles. So.
Okay. Who is your favorite Disney character?
I loved DuckTales back in the day, so I'll go with the duck characters. All those Huey, Dewey, Louie, Scrooge McDuck, all those guys.
That's fun. Introvert or extrovert?
Yes, I go with that. Both of those two. Depends.
Yeah, perfect.
I'm kind of that. Sometimes I can very much be both.
Yeah. That's good. I think it's a spectrum. I don't think it's actually polarized like lots of people like to think it is. Do you think you would make a good spy?
Probably not. Maybe fun until you get caught and tortured. But yeah, I'm not down for the torture or anything like that. So.
Okay. What about like rappelling down the buildings? That would be kind of fun.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah, cool. Okay. And what never fails to make you laugh?
Cat videos.
Awesome. So see, you're not boring.
No, right. those were bad. Right. There was nothing in there. I think all that did was confirm that those are pretty bland answers. Like pretty much everyone texts their spouse more than everyone. And it's not a whole lot there.
Well, I think you're not boring. And I also think that you're classified as an awesome coach filled with tons of wisdom. So let's hear the tip you have for us today.
So I think it's very important. And gosh, all the times I've been on the podcast before, I've talked about this a lot. And it's kind of one of my go-to things. I think it's important for all athletes to really appreciate, absorb, follow. It's being intentional with training. It's I've said it 1,000 times. It's not so much perfection, it's consistency. And the best way to be consistent is to be intentional, to really set yourself up for success in having that consistent training, getting in as many sessions as you can, getting in as much of the session as possible as prescribed. So when we plan for those sessions, when we set ourselves up for success, so it's even things like establishing routine. So what time of day do you get in your sessions? Maybe even scheduling a time to where that is a priority. So, you know, it's X o'clock. It's time for me to do my session, whether that's in the morning, whether it's in the evening or sometime throughout the day. Having that time set aside is going to set yourself up for success. And then just having a certain level of self-grace and self-patience to understand that even in that intentionality, that things are not going to always go to plan. You can have those scheduled times set. And, best laid plans of mice and men, it doesn't always work out that way. And that's okay. But be intentional, do what you can to get in as many sessions as you can, get them in as closely as possible to prescribed, and just be okay with that. Know that that is still going to produce very good results. You're still going to perform very well when you do that. It's not so much about the perfection of training, but it's the consistency that is set up and produced through being intentional with the training. So what you do matters. It's not just going out and doing random things, or even just going out swimming, cycling, and running. It's what you do with the time that you have that is important. So when we train consistently and train with intentionality, it's going to produce results.
Yeah, I think that's such an important aspect of training, is the consistency. And something that I know has really helped me to implement that consistency is that my training is non-negotiable. Like, it's something that I have put into this part of my brain that it's something that just happens on, it's like eating breakfast. Like, it's just non-negotiable. Like, you just do it because it's part of this bigger plan that you have for yourself. And I think that definitely leads into being consistent. And we've heard that so many times, like with any kind of goal that you have, consistency is the key to achieving that goal. And so I think that's super important. Super important aspect of training, that's for sure. The other thing that I really like about being intentional with training is that you can be intentional with each session as well. Like, you can have a goal for each session, and sometimes you have no goal for each session. Maybe that intentionality is having fun, or maybe it is, you know, like, yeah, I feel the other day, this is a miracle, actually. My husband actually wanted to join me on a training session, which has never happened before. So I was like, forget the plan. Today is going to be all about having him come on to my run with me and have him enjoy it so that he'll want to do it again. And so I just scrapped the plan. And I think that's still being consistent, and it's still in having the...
Yeah. And that's 100% the right answer. You know, as I would never, you know, I can't think of a scenario where I would say, yeah, that probably wasn't the right thing to do. I almost unequivocally would say, yes, that was absolutely the right thing to do, almost regardless of what the original session was for the day. When something like that happens, you know, or if, gosh, I remember I had somebody one time almost like ask permission. Hey, my son is coming home from an overseas deployment. Is it okay if I, it's like, why are you even wasting your time talking to me? Of course it's okay. But it doesn't even have to be, it doesn't have to be anything that big, anything that significant. You know, if your child is crawled up in your lap, and, you know, yeah, just enjoy that time. Cause yeah, like I said, I just had a daughter graduate, and, you know, it feels like it was just a couple of days ago, she was still crawling up in my lap on the couch. But, you know, there's plenty of time for training. And as we said, it's consistency, it's not perfection. So yeah, go for a run with your spouse, or spend time with your kid, or whatever it is, that if something is higher value on your time, don't worry about it. And just know that that's okay. Like I said before, be patient and have grace with yourself, and just know that it was the right decision, to do that. And again, there's plenty of time for training. There will always be more, training sessions. So, we're not running out of those.
Thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and share the TriDot podcast with your triathlon crew. For more great Tri content and community, connect with us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Ready to optimize your training? Head to TriDot.com and start your free trial today. TriDot, the obvious and automatic choice for triathlon training.